Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, Italiani, fans of the Euros, to Interviews Podcast, episode 88. We are here to talk a little football. Discuss a couple of games that have been really, really compelling as far as narratives are concerned around Italy. Compelling as far as the drama, some last minute drama with a finish that is very reminiscent to what we saw with Del Piero last time Italy was at a major tournament hosted in Germany back in 2006. Obviously, the stakes were very different. The teams were very different. How we felt about these teams is definitely very different, but you know, some similarities in just how that goal was scored. So it was pretty special. I know there's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot that's going to be not negative, but skewed more towards on the critical end. But ultimately, Italy is through to the round of 16. Their opponent has already been determined. We are playing Switzerland next up. And let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and jump right into this. And we'll start with this question. Johnny, at the end of that game, did Italy merit that 1-1 draw? Did they merit the point based off of the performance?
Absolutely not. I don't think anybody outside of a few guys on that team really deserved to even be moving on to the round of 16. This should be another tournament of disappointment. And I was actually really bothered, too, that even if we finished third, there was an opportunity that we would still get through. I was like, with the way we've played, we do not deserve to move on. It was an ugly game. I mean, listen, hats off to Calafiori and Saccagni for what they were able to do in the last really seconds there. To pull off the equalizer, I mean, that's no simple feat, and especially with that finish, it was not easy, but it was a beautiful finish nonetheless. But yeah, I still don't think that this team is deserving.
I agree that the team is not playing well enough as a whole, or, you know, even we'll talk about this guy a lot, but Spalletti as a manager, I don't know that he necessarily deserves that place in the round of 16 based off of these performances. I thought, just strictly speaking, as you know, for the game, we had plenty of opportunities. Bastoni had his chances. Scamacca had a very clear-cut chance. At the very least, I think that we deserved a goal. You know, tough to say whether or not we deserve to get, you know, to get a point off of the full performance, but I thought we at least deserved the goal, and we end up getting it and getting enough to go through the round of 16. An interesting feeling for Italian fans right now who are coming off of a 1-0 loss to Spain that felt like we got asphalted. The game against Spain, the final scoreline does not accurately reflect what happened in that match. And this one, I think, does more accurately reflect what happened in the match, but it's still not a great feeling. So how do we assess this? How do we move forward? I think the place that we should start is expectations for this team coming into the tournament, right? Knowing, you know, even when we were talking about this list getting cut down to the final list that would be taken here, we didn't have riches to be choosing from. I definitely think there are some guys that should have made the team over the people that are here, but the team itself is not very talented. But nonetheless, we are in the round of 16. How far does this team need to go in order for you to say, okay, that was my expectation?
That's a tough question to answer, to be honest. I think there's varying answers. There's expectations, and then there's hope. I think I had hoped with the players that we had and the team that we had, and really with the manager that we had, I had hoped we would actually be able to repeat. Yes, there's some players that I wish were there, specifically guys like Orsolini and you know, I would even say Locatelli over some of the midfielders that are there. But having seen what we saw with Luciano Spalletti, and maybe we can get into this later, with Napoli, I had higher hopes for the style of play, for the players to be able to develop under him. And yes, I know it's a limited amount of time that he's with these players and that they're able to practice and implement his ideas. But I had high hopes. To me, round of 16 with the way we've played is a massive, massive success, because I just don't think this team is good enough from what I've seen in these first three games. And if they continue like this, listen, Switzerland was difficult for us in the last Euros. And they got a guy in net there who we know as Interisti very well, who, although he's had one howler, he is still an exceptional goalkeeper. And he nearly won them the game 4 years ago himself. So I if we were able to get out of the round of 16, I'd be shocked, to be quite honest. But yeah, to me, really, we're just playing at this point, we're playing with house money.
We can talk a little bit about Switzerland later on in the episode. Obviously, guys like Sommer, Ndoye, Aebischer, Freuler, Ricardo Rodriguez, these are guys that all have experience playing in Italy or are familiar with the Italian style of play. So it's going to be interesting to see how that round of 16 shakes out. It's winnable, I think you would say. On paper, it's winnable. In terms of that side of the bracket that we're in, it's like, if we're ever going to have a chance, this is the side of the bracket that we need to be in. So, yeah, you can remain hopeful, but we also have to assess what we're watching in front of us. And let's go ahead and start with the manager, Luciano Spalletti. There's a lot to talk about here. Let's talk off the pitch for the moment. These press conferences have been really like a guy who is just kind of losing it. From the comments about our top players needing to play in Spain and England, which is such a tired, old way of thinking. I don't know if he watches Premier League games, but they're not nearly as tactically interesting as what we're seeing in Serie A. Maybe from the perspective of young players getting a chance, okay, but it's not, I don't know. You saw Scamacca. What's his development been like under Gasperini versus what it was under David Moyes? Not that he's this amazing player, but like, let's be honest, when we're trying to ship off our best talents to the Premier League, that's the last thing I want to do. So there's that aspect, which was nonsensical, to the explosion post-match at the reporter, like asking if he had a pack with his team to play the 3-5-2. He just seems like a guy who is really on a knife's edge here and kind of losing it, not calm, control, you know, collected. I know you made, you know, you had a Twitter post about, you know, potentially what we saw from Napoli being a fluke here. Like, how would you assess how Luciano is handling these difficult times just from the perspective of like, he's the guy in charge?
Yeah, I mean, that post was really out of anger, out of disappointment with what I've seen from this team. I do think that Spalletti is a pretty good manager. I don't think I'd put him up there with greats, but I do think he's pretty good. What we're seeing is a guy who I guess is unable to handle the pressure, unable to handle the spotlight, perhaps. And listen, maybe that's just me being a little angry, a little frustrated with the way that we've performed so far. But, you know, to be snapping like that and being, I don't know, so short and so quick to jump, I think, I don't know. I mean, maybe he isn't really cut out for this. And, you know, I did say some things in that post about how he needed so many things to go right in order for him to be able to be, you know, winning the league title. Maybe that isn't really so far-fetched, really. Like, if you really break it down. And I know Art Morelli responded to that, and he was trying to, you know, defend his guy, defend his team, and shared some statistics there, which, you know, kind of defended his case for sure. But at the same time, too, it's like you can't also look away at how poor the league was as a whole and how poor the other upper echelon teams were performing that last season. Like, you know, he was trying to say that Inter went to two, well, three finals. I was like, okay, a Supercopa, you're really going to count that, you know, like as a, that's a one game when it was, you know, it was just one game, you know, and the Coppa Italia, the Champions League. I think we as Interisti, and I've said this before, but if we were on the other side of the bracket, do we think that it would have had the same outcome for us? We did need things to fall in place, just the same way Napoli needed things to fall in place for them to be successful. So
not to mention, Balletti, like getting to two finals takes a lot from your ability to do well in the league. At least as far as Serie A teams are concerned, they don't have the same depth to be able to compete on all fronts, right? So there is like, yeah, they made it to two finals, but that's essentially because they performed so poorly in the league that they sort of sacrificed that aspect.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, look, we saw how Napoli kind of punted the Champions League and punted the Coppa Italia and were able to focus on solely the league. So, look, it's I think certain managers can handle cup competitions. I don't think Spalletti is one of them. When if you even look at his career as a whole, what he was able to do with Roma, what he's able to do with Inter and now with Napoli in Champions League, not great. Coppa Italia, not great. You know, a guy like, and I hope that he, you know, maybe for the next World Cup, he will be the guy who could take charge. Because I don't know if he's really going to, if Spalletti is going to want to continue with the national team after this tournament, with the way things have gone and with the way, you know, the backlash from the media. And let us not forget, he did say when he left Napoli that he wanted to take a year to, you know, relax and then reassess his options and stuff. And but all of a sudden, then he's jumping into the national team. So he wasn't even able to take that year. And I'm hopeful that maybe, you know, a guy like Carlo Ancelotti will be available to maybe take over at the World Cup. But Spalletti just doesn't seem like he can handle this. I don't think he's the right guy to go forward with the national team. And I'm actually very disappointed with a lot of the performances. Not even in just the Euros, but leading up to the Euros. I wasn't loving what I was seeing. So,
what has been the worst aspect of his management of this team during the Euro, during this tournament for you? Because for me, there's the man management aspect where you're essentially saying your players aren't good enough every time. But for me, the most criminal thing has been the squad selection, because for as not as deep as this team is compared to previous tournaments, there is enough talent on this team where you feel like they could have played better against Spain if there was a different tactical game plan and different personnel on the pitch, and same thing against Croatia. So for me, it's the selections. For you, you know, what has it been that he's just getting wrong?
Yeah, no, I would agree with what you said. The selections and then his substitutions and his time of the substitutions. You know, I got extremely frustrated with yesterday. Listen, Pellegrini better come out with an injury, because to take him out, he was not playing poorly in the first half. Yes, I think he misplayed a few passes, but I don't think that he deserved to be substituted at halftime. And then you bring in a guy like Fratesi, who doesn't offer you anything in the middle of the park. He's not good at passing. We saw it yesterday. He's not good at dribbling. He kind of dribbles himself into trouble. He had a couple of decent runs and opportunities outside the 18 and in the 18 that just really didn't turn into anything. I don't get that. I don't get why he did that. I don't know why he left Raspadori out there so long and waited so long to get Scamacca on the pitch. Why he kept, listen, Darmian played great. I'm not saying that he played poorly, but at that point when you're chasing a goal, he should have been one of the first people off the pitch and you bring somebody else on to be able to go forward. I don't understand it at all. I don't understand the not playing Buongiorno either. I'm just scratching my head at that. And
we've got to talk about that.
We keep seeing Di Lorenzo and this stupid blind faith in Napoli players who, listen, Di Lorenzo, I never had a problem with until this year. Terrible season in the league. And then on his form, he gets to not only continuously start, but then also never get substituted. I just don't understand it. And yeah, like you said, the team selections have been horrendous. And I've lost all faith in his ability to, one, read the game and read what the team needs in that moment to be able to chase a goal or whatever it may be.
Yeah, he really, it doesn't feel like he has a feel for this team and its strengths and who should be out there playing. I also, we can talk about this a little bit later on, actually, but it's not about the clubs for me. Like, there's a lot of discussion. You know what? I'm going to save that for later because it's going to dominate this whole episode. But as far as the selections are concerned, like, the best 11 are not on the pitch. The substitute to start the game, the substitutions are all over the place. The change in tactics, the formations, like going from the 3-5-2 to the 4-2-3-1 and back and forth, and it just is very disjointed. And this team, he hasn't managed this team long enough to be able to, you know, have them ready to go in and out of formations like that and constantly be, or at least be that flexible. It's just been a bad tournament overall for him. I was happy with the switch to the 3-5-2. I didn't think that first half was as bad as some folks thought it was. It seems like a lot of people almost are watching different things because there's so many differing opinions about what's going on the pitch with Italy. I thought in the first half, it was enough. They were showing enough to be in the game, and nothing needed to be changed outside of the striker partnership for me. It could have been Retegui out, it could have been Raspadori out, you know, either way. I was just looking for a change there, not a change in the midfield. The Fratesi thing, he can be okay.
Careful.
No, I trust me, I understand. We're gonna have some disagreements here. Obviously, he's catching a lot of flack. I think part of it is also deservedly so. Di Marco should be catching flack,
yep,
for sure. The defending on Modric's goal, the Interisti there, not good. I don't know what was going on there. I have no problem, again, with the players from my club. If you want to criticize them, go ahead. They haven't been great. Bastoni and Barella. Barella's covered the most ground in the tournament. Bastoni's been statistically the best defender in the tournament. I don't. If you're doing it to say Inter players suck, I mean, what's going on here? Like, are you a fan of the national team or not? Because they're not, it's obviously you're not playing in the club anymore. You're not playing the role. You're not doing the same things you're being asked to do. National teams are completely, completely different. Your club has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It's how that group of players fits together. It's how that it's what those individual players are being asked to do as far as their roles are concerned. If we were a ball dominant side and we just needed Fratesi to get on the end of the constant chances that we were creating, that's a better use of his talents than, you know, it's nil-nil and you don't necessarily need to be chasing the game and bringing him in for Pellegrini, who would do a better job holding up possession and holding up the ball in the middle of the pitch. It was a strange substitution that, like Nima said on the Italian Football Podcast that I really agreed with, it's like, if you bought a dog expecting it to be a cat, why are you going to get angry at the dog? Like, it's not... Fratesi can fill a certain type of role. He was being asked to play a different type of role. It's not fair. I think you can criticize him and you can criticize Di Marco, but it's also not necessarily fair, in my opinion. If you have some words on Fratesi, I'll kick it over to you to let you do what you got to do.
I'm just not a fan. I'm really not a fan of his, regardless of. I don't see anything that he does that warrants him even being a part of this national team. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't see anything that he does. He is just good at getting in the box and being able to get on the end of crosses and score a goal. And
that's not valuable for any team to have.
But if you're playing him as a midfielder, it's not valuable. It's not valuable because now you're sacrificing another person in the middle of the park to be able to.
But Johnny, you're making the point. Like, that's not his fault. He, in the first game or in the
Bosnia. I just said, if that's all he's going to be, then you play him as a second striker. He's not a midfielder.
I agree.
He needs to stop. They need to stop then. But I don't think he should be on the national team. Okay? He was a super sub for Inter. That's it. He when he started, he did not perform well. So what warranted him being on the national team? And now people
because
are getting all
upset. He brings a set of skills that can be valuable if you're using him.
One skill. One skill that can be. Yeah, you know what?
Johnny, that skill is a game-changing skill. That skill is a game goals
then
is
then your strikers are not good enough either then at that point.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes, 100%.
I'm not a fan of Fratesi's, and I don't see him doing anything that'll actually be helpful for this team in any game. The amount of times he misplayed passes.
I hope he scores
insane.
The 95th minute winner against
Listen, if he scores the 95th winner against Switzerland, then we did another thing terrible that game to be in that situation to begin with. Because we should not be struggling with countries like Switzerland. We should not be struggling with countries like Albania.
They dominated that game.
Okay, but honestly, like, it wasn't that great. Like, it should have been 5-1.
It should have been worse.
It should have been even more of a domination is what I'm saying. When you're a country like Italy with players at your disposal like Italy.
Yeah.
And now you have guys like this, like Switzerland. I know they gave us a hard time 4 years ago. And probably what's going to happen is Shaqiri is going to score a banger like 30, 40 minutes into the game. And then we're going to be fighting for our lives, clawing. And we're going to find a way to steal it at the end of the game. Like, that's probably how it's going to play out with them. But regardless, like, I just think there's a lot of mistakes in the squad selection to begin with that even led up to the tournament. There's a lot of mistakes with the players being brought on. Now, if we went to like a 3-4-1-1 where Fratesi's behind Retegui or Scamacca or whatever, then I could see, yes, some usefulness for him there. But again, what we struggle with Spain and what we saw with Croatia is when having to clog the midfield of the pitch, Barella's having to do a lot of the work. Jorginho was meh this game. He was maybe a little bit better defensively the game against Spain, but then going forward, his decision making wasn't quick enough, and he wasn't. And we were getting into trouble trying to get out of our own defensive half. When you bring in a guy like Fratesi, who's not good at holding up play, who's not good at finding the outlet pass and being able to move the attack forward,
he doesn't break lines with his passing. He breaks it with his runs, and he's being asked to do something that he's not capable of doing.
He's good at running off the ball. He's not good at running with the ball too. So like if he's getting the ball on the right side and he has no outlet there because Di Lorenzo's so far back that he's another useless guy. So yes, it's not all on Fratesi, but like there's just things I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I think with Inter and even with the national team, we may need to have a serious discussion about him being like a second striker or a player who plays off of Lautaro or whatever it may be, because I don't see him ever developing the skills as a midfielder to be useful for club or country.
It's not an unfair take. I am feeling less so critical of Fratesi because I think it's an easy scapegoat to go after a player.
It's not all Fratesi. It's an Inter podcast, so I'm trying to focus on the Inter players.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can go off on Di Lorenzo, I can go off on so many other guys too.
Di Lorenzo's
probably my most hated player.
I would agree, and he came into this is. I'm trying to think of a way to wrangle all of this because there is so much to talk about. So why don't we let's do it this way. The switch was made to a 3-5-2. The three games into the tournament, and the formation that was decided was Darmian, Bastoni, Calafiori in front of Donnarumma. Before I get to the rest of the team, let's just start here defensively. Darmian and Di Lorenzo on the pitch at the same time. It ended up being Darmian as the right center back instead of the right wing back. And then obviously we saw with Bastoni and Calafiori. Just that part of the selection.
The back three.
Yeah.
Okay.
How'd that go for you?
I was okay with that. I was okay with the selection. Now, would I have preferred Buongiorno? Probably. Mm-hmm. Although Darmian played fantastic, if you asked me going into the game who I would have wanted as my back three, I probably would have gone with Buongiorno, Calafiori, and Bastoni.
I don't know that Buongiorno can play on the outside of a three. But if you're going to ask other players,
we didn't know if
Calafiore
could play in the middle of a three. You know, I mean, then like Bastoni switched over to that too, and things were changing.
Yeah,
you know, so like you don't know unless you try. Now, yes, Darmian was very good, and we know he plays right center back for Inter. So I didn't hate it. I didn't have a problem with it, and I loved Darmian. I thought he was very solid defensively.
I thought he was really good defensively. I thought when he had to play out wide, it looked a lot worse. And again, it's an example of Spalletti not really having
better.
When he had to play out wide,
as a left back.
Yes.
Okay.
It looked a lot worse.
I thought you were talking about when him and Di Lorenzo would overchange sometimes, and Di Lorenzo would drop.
When
he came forward, I thought he was good. But
that side was fine, and even Di Lorenzo in that half, like he was getting into space. It was the end product that was really there was nothing to it.
Yeah, it was dreadful. But
this is like a there's an even larger discussion to be had here. But let's start with the back three. So this upcoming game against Switzerland. Calafiore is suspended.
Yep.
I've been advocating. Calafiore's having an amazing tournament. He's been caught out of possession a few times.
Yes,
he was almost the reason.
That.
Yeah, he was almost the reason that Croatia scored in the first half. He was almost the reason that Albania scored at the end of the game. He did score an own goal against Spain. There's a lot of PR around him, and I really like him as a player, but the narrative is not matching what's actually playing out on the field. He did have the run for Italy's goal. Like, there's been a lot of good, but there's also been a lot of like, not sure.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that. And I am still advocating for, and I'm going to hopefully get it. Hopefully. If Spalletti, I don't trust Spalletti, but against Switzerland, you have the opportunity to do Darmian, Buongiorno, Bastoni, and it's going to be very interesting to see what people have to say when Bastoni's in his natural position. All of a sudden, they think Calafiore is doing something that Bastoni doesn't do with a blindfold on when he's at Inter. Like, he's very capable of doing the same shit as far as driving into the midfield and his end product. And if you put a more natural center back in Buongiorno, who was arguably the best defender in Serie A last year.
Yep, agreed.
With the two Interisti flanked on his side, I think that looks better than what we've seen with Calafiore in there. And you can say, I'm making an argument. Calafiore has performed well enough. He's performed well enough. But to say that Bastoni in his natural position of the left center back is not going to look just as good with arguably, again, the best defender in Serie A last year next to him, I think it's going to look better. I really do.
Everything you just said, I 1,000,000% agree with. This is what nobody thought Calafiore was going to be starting going into the tournament.
Yep.
Nobody. Everyone thought it was going to be Buongiorno playing. This is what I was hoping would happen, that now he would get his opportunity. And I hope he does so well and Bastoni does so well as a left center back that they can't put Calafiore back in. Calafiore is getting this hype and being called the next Maldini, this and that, the next great Italian center back. And it's as if Bastoni has not been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years. And I just don't get it. Is it because of the jokes that we see that because he doesn't have long hair, he's just not good enough?
It's in my opinion, it's because of the club rivalry thing, which has been seeping into this discussions around the national team. And it's like, it's very, very weird to see that it's anytime something goes wrong on the pitch, it's because of, you play for this club, you're shit. It's strange. Bastoni is a better left center back than Calafiore is.
Without a question. But Bastoni is the best ball playing center back, not just in the Italian, in the world.
And Buongiorno is a better center back than Bastoni is.
Yes.
You're upgrading the defense.
You just made the team better defensively right there. And it took Calafiore, who outside of a last second pass, like everyone was like, I'm sorry, but there was even some Juventini who were ripping on Calafiore in that first half and early. It wasn't until he got the assist that the whole narrative shifted on Calafiore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like he did not have a good game.
Yeah, it's very impartial. It's very...
Yeah, no. He was caught out of position so many times. People were like, if somebody put up a statistic, oh, 0 times dribbled past. Well, of course you're not going to get dribbled past if you're out of position all the time.
He got caught out bad in that first half.
He got caught out bad two times.
There's been... I can think of three distinct moments across all three of the games where Calafiori made mistakes. And I can also think of three distinct incidents across all three games where he did really well. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other. It doesn't have to be this is a godlike player, and it doesn't have to be this player is shit. But as
he's just not as good as people are hyping him up to be. That's it.
It's just analyzing.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I don't think he's no one is saying he's bad, but the way they're talking about him, it's like I just don't understand what they are seeing. Like, forget about like even just the eye test, being caught out of position, being caught losing your man, allowing them to slip in behind you when you're as the center back. You really are. I mean, take the cliche away. Like, but you are the quarterback of the defense back there. You really are. Have to be the voice. Have to be the eyes. You have to be head on a swivel, left and right, looking both ways, and making sure that your right center back has coverage there. Your left center back has your back there. And he just allows himself to be caught in bad situations. And then nothing really solidified until, I guess, Spalletti had Calafiori move more out wide and Bastoni had to really focus on being the center back. And once he took more responsibility is where it kind of became a little bit more solidified. Now, we can get into it later about the goal, you know, that Croatia scored, but I still think that Bastoni was very good defensively.
Yeah, this is not a Bastoni has been perfect and Calafiori has been and down conversation. It's they're both, no one on Italy has been perfect. Barella's been very good, but even he has not been perfect.
Him and Donnarumma are the closest.
Donnarumma's been perfect, I'm sorry. Donnarumma's been pretty perfect.
Yeah, yes. You're right. Okay. Yes.
So
even though I jokingly want to say that near post goal, you know, because of what Sharma said about Joseph Martinez, I'm gonna say Donnarumma made the mistake on the Albania goal. But even though he didn't, relax. But
yeah.
I'm gonna say he did.
That's another. Okay, so let's get into this guy now, Di Marco. Do you think Di Marco looks better if Bastoni is his left center back, or do you do you think it's a product of potentially carrying an injury, playing 90 minutes two games in a row, which he didn't all season for Inter. Again, this is coming back to like Spalletti doesn't understand his personnel.
Yeah. I hope he would look better with Bastoni playing back there as his left center back. I think they would understand how to play with one another, how to allow one space to be able to push forward if he has the ball, if Bastoni does, when to drop back and stuff like that.
And also, real quick, a miscommunication on a throw-in has nothing to do with how they would look together on the pitch.
Forget that. Listen, Di Marco is probably been the second worst player, I would say, on the national team behind Di Lorenzo. If you think about it.
Co-sign, yeah.
Listen, I love Di Marco. I really do. But yeah, he's been a big disappointment. Even his crosses into the box have not been all that great.
Dribbling out of bounds.
Yeah, like, that one yesterday, just running it right. I did not understand that. And maybe he is hurt. I mean, I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you've seen anything. I didn't even read anything.
Doubtful going into the Croatia game.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, well, listen, I think you... I'm trying to think. The only thing, and I don't think we'll do this, one of these guys hasn't even played a single minute, and the other guy is, you know, didn't look great in his appearance against Spain. I think the only thing, if he's injured, the only thing I would have wanted to see then is maybe Cambiasso on the left.
I could also,
And then Bellanova on the right would be my dream against the Swiss. But we all know it's gonna be
Di Lorenzo.
It's gonna be Di Lorenzo on the right, and probably Cambiasso if he's hurt. Di Marco, that is.
It's so frustrating because, like, you know, strictly speaking, as far as the wing backs are concerned, there's a viable alternative to DiMarco in Cambiasso. I wanted him to come to Inter. I am a fan of Cambiasso's. I don't think the projected lineups from Gazzetta and where he's been playing when he's played this Euros is not highlighted his strengths. Again, not really knowing his personnel, but I'm okay if you end up going with Cambiasso for the next game. Give DiMarco both a mental and physical reset. At least have him come on later in the game if you need him to be. Mm-hmm. The Di Lorenzo thing, if it's going to be...
Are we going to talk about him now for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my thing with Di Lorenzo looked better, obviously, against Croatia, but it's still not great. And if you are going to play that back three where you feel confident with Darmian at right center back, then Belanova is a perfectly good option, offers way more offensive threat. If you're going to be... Di Lorenzo has not been good defensively. So if you're going to have worries about Belanova's ability defensively, like, at least be giving, offering something in attack, which Belanova does, at least has the speed and a counter option that Di Lorenzo doesn't have. The end product, Belanova had himself a hell of a year in terms of end product. I don't know the exact amount of assists off the top of my head. Don't kill me, but he...
If I'm not mistaken, it's 7, but...
Yeah. I mean, you know, much, much improved that part of his game. Maybe the fastest player on the Italy squad.
Ooh, I was spot on. 7 assists. Oh, man.
There you go. He's very good. Even a player like Coyote could be in this team performing at right wing back. I mean, Di Lorenzo himself said it before the Croatia game, or after the Croatia game, if there was any other manager, I probably wouldn't have started this game. So I think he thought he redeemed himself, but what I saw was a player that wasn't exposed defensively because he had Darmian behind him, and he didn't have to play right center back. Croatia doesn't have great wingers, so he wasn't going to get exposed the same way he did against Nico Williams, number two. Number three, you didn't offer any end product. Every single one of your crosses hit its first man.
He's just white Dumfries.
He's not good.
He's not.
He's really lost it. Like, it's not, I don't think it's crazy to say that he's not offering this team anything by being in the starting lineup. Yeah. I get it if you have reservations about Belanova's age and experience, but, like, I don't know. He played in a Champions League final 2 years
ago. Age, he's like 24. He's 24. What do you want him to be? What do you want him to be? Like, we lack pace all across the pitch. We lack pace. Bring on a guy who is a game changer. Just like you said, yes, if he struggles defensively, which, you know what? I think he did massively improve this year at Torino. I mean, I don't think he was terrible even at Inter. Yes, he had some games where he, you know, struggled, but I think that was more nerves more so than anything. And
yeah,
to continually be allowing Giovanni Di Lorenzo to play games and just stink up the pitch, and people are, you know, if they are complaining about the potential of Belanova being out there, you're going to tell me that there's no way this guy could do worse. And like you said, and if he is, at least he might even offer more going forward with better crosses, definitely pace to beat his man, and a better dribbler. Like, I just...
He might get caught out. He might get caught out and it hurts you, but he's also going to get behind. Yeah, he's going to get behind enough times to potentially make up for that mistake. Just for the purposes of, like, as we're going through these discussions about the players, are you in your head moving forward with a 3-5-2? Is that what you think is the way to go against Switzerland?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so then let's talk about the midfield. Did that for opening 45 minutes from Jorginho, Pellegrini, and Barella merit another chance? Because for me, it did. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't long enough for them to make as big of an impact as I believe that three could do.
Yeah, for me, it did. I didn't see anything. I mean... Pellegrini had a few chances with the ball that I just, you know, I think the decision making was not quite there. But overall, I was happy with it. The first half, I felt pretty good, really, with the way the 3-5-2. I thought I saw a lot more positive things going forward than I did in the previous two games. I was happy with, I was happy with the effort of the midfield. I really was. I don't understand why we switched right out of halftime. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
If he's injured, do you play Fagioli? Because there's no scenario where I'm playing Cristante.
I would.
Yeah, in a knockout game. I would too, dude. I'm not. This is also like part of that. I don't give a shit about the club thing.
Yeah, I don't either.
He's better. He's better than Cristante.
Yeah, and I'm not even a big Fagioli fan, but
he's
better
in midfield three than Fratesi is. It's
not even a question. Yeah. It's not even a question. Like,
I think that's what I would do if Pellegrini's out. I would do Fagioli, Barella, Jorginho.
100%.
At least I know that's a midfield that can hold on to the ball.
Yeah. But the worst part is, though, if, God forbid, we're losing that game, then our only options off the bench are Fratesi and Cristante.
But if we're losing that game, you're probably not playing a three in the midfield anyway. Fratesi's coming in as... He's not really a 10.
He's a
floater around the box. Yeah. Yep. This is a frustrating conversation to have. All right.
Yeah.
Raspadori Retegi. Nima called Raspadori the Italian Lautaro.
I'm glad I didn't listen to that episode. I'm glad I didn't listen to that episode. That's blasphemous.
He said that Conte was very happy with, has to be very happy with what he saw from Raspadori.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
And I commented on it.
This is one of those instances where this is what I'm talking about when I say I feel like we're all watching a different game.
We all are. Listen, I love Nima, but there's no way you look at that performance from Raspadori and you leave with anything positive from that. What did he do? I'm not even trying to be like an asshole. No. What did he do?
Yeah. That's a fair question.
I didn't see good off the ball runs. I didn't see him holding up play. I didn't see him finding spaces or creating anything for Retegi. I loved, now it's funny, he was ripping on Retegi in the group chat. And I was loving everything I was seeing from Retegi. I thought his movement off the ball was great. I thought him finding pockets of space. You know, he was trying to say that Scamacca would have finished that header that Retegi put just wide. Well, it also hit the defender. So, like,
yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't think Scamacca fights for that ball in the air. That's just my opinion.
So Nima and Carlo on the Italian Football Podcast made the argument. They compared playing Scamacca and Retegi together to having those two striker formations where, you know, it's like the having two twin towers up top and how it never works. And for me, I don't see it like that.
They're
because,
two different strikers.
Like, yeah, I don't consider Scamacca a towering striker. While physically he is, I think he's better when he's dropping deep combining than he is being in the box.
100% agreed.
And that's what Retegi is. Retegi is the fox in the box. Scamacca is the guy that you can play the intricate
and he can
middle
create
game.
Things out of nothing. He can rip shots from outside the box and curl it top corner. Like, Retegi wouldn't do that. Retegi, like you said, would be the guy, you know, who's the fox in the box, who's able to, you know, sneak in behind and get like a nice little toe poke in, goal in or outleap his defender and head the ball. Like, I don't get that conversation. And I'm not picking on Nima, and I'm not trying to like be creepy, but like for a guy who calls him the Ibrahimovic with a neck tattoo, well, was Ibrahimovic just, you know,
Italian Ibra with a neck tattoo?
Yeah, like only able to offer that just in the box. He didn't do things outside of it. He wasn't able to take on his man and find space and rip shots from distance. Like, Scamacca can do that. So I just don't get that argument. I think they would actually play very well together, personally.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And also, I don't want to see Scamacca in a position. This is, again, players playing out of their role. Like, I don't he's not a lead the line kind of striker.
No,
he's better playing in a two, and he's better playing with a player that can play further up the pitch so that he can hold up the ball, play the 1-2s. He's like a, you know, flick of the heel kind of guy. He wants to combine. He wants to get space outside the box to rip long shots. He doesn't want to be in a position where he has to be the guy running towards the Chiesa cross and has to get there. It's just not his, that which was pathetic, by the way, but it's just not his game. I would go Scamacca Retegui moving forward.
I would agree. I mean, I don't get how we're even, like, this is even a comment. And Aspadori, I wanted him on the national team, and now having watched him a couple of games, and this game from minute one, he shouldn't be there either. I don't think he's good enough. I think Orsolini would have offered more, personally. Yeah, I know he's a winger, but I think that he could have been able to shift in and do a lot more than Raspadori. That's just me.
This team needs, especially if you were going to play the 4-2-3-1, this team needs Orsolini badly.
He's a left-footed player, which we
don't have.
Are desperately needing. So, but
yeah, all of our left-footed players are in the back. Scamacca can hit with his left, but anyway, let's talk about the two players that came on and had differing performances. Let's talk Chiesa first. So I was of the mind that he should have been dropped for this game. It's the same thing that I'm advocating for Di Marco, where it's both a mental and physical reset. I was happy to see a two-striker formation that had strikers and not, you know, Chiesa playing in a role that he's not suited for. What did you think of his performance yesterday as a sub?
I think that's where he's most effective. I think that's what he has to be, is a super sub. I don't think that he could start for this team. And I think when you do force a start for him, then what you're doing is you're trying to force a formation to allow him to be at his best and sacrificing the rest of your team. That's just my opinion. He doesn't want to play as a second forward. Okay, well then you're going to be a super sub and you're either going to have to go in as a second forward or play as a wing back, which you didn't like doing under Allegri. We don't have natural wingers to play like a 4-3-3 or even like when we played this, you know, 4-2-3-1, it still didn't work really. So it's like, I don't know. I think that he's better coming off the bench. I think he has a better impact. His pace is able to go against tired legs. To me, that's the way to go.
Bonetti said Chiesa is our best attacking player. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I strongly disagree.
Who's better?
Right now? Or who do I think is actually like better?
Who's better right now? Just in terms of this tournament.
I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think that Retegui is better.
He's a better attacking player? More talented? More talented attacking player?
No, but I think I'm talking about like just attacking as in getting in goals.
Yeah, I
mean, if we're going to talk about like a complete like attacking player, I would still maybe make a case for Scamacca to be better.
I think Scamacca is the most talented attacking player we have on the team. But I don't think it's such an interesting argument. It really comes down to like footballing philosophy, because I do think there's very much a world where Chiesa is the best attacking player we have on this team, but he's not playing like that player right now. So it comes down to like, do you keep rolling him out there in the hopes that he's going to find it? Or at some point, do you have to try different solutions until you get there? I believe that I don't think Chiesa is done as a player. I think it's been a difficult couple of years. And I think he was in a situation at Juventus where he wasn't being used correctly and it's kind of broken him. And I think he needs to, he's a very, very talented attacker. If he's not our best, then he's our second best. In my opinion, Chiesa and Scamacca are the two most talented forward players that Italy has. So I'm really not sure, because my preferred formation and game plan that we have for this team means that Kies is not going to be playing. But I really am hoping that he does find whatever he needs to find in order to get his confidence back, where he can be a difference maker for this team, because you can't look at the rest of the roster and say he's not up there as far as like potential difference makers are concerned. You might disagree. That's how I feel.
I don't know. I guess I see a player who loses interest when things aren't going his way, who gets frustrated very easily, and then allows that to kind of bleed into the rest of the team with his...
A good example of that would be against Spain, where I forget who he beat over the back of the head. Maybe it was Lenormand or something, when he couldn't get on the end of a through ball or whatever it might have been. And he was definitely showing frustration, as opposed to, was that the best move there? Because that could have hurt us. I just think he's not, he doesn't quite have it right now.
Which is fair. I mean, listen, there is a talented player there. I won't deny that. I just think with his performances for Juve, or lack thereof, and then what I'm seeing now, I think he's best coming off the bench. I don't see him really offering much as a starter. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about Zaccagni a little bit here, because obviously he is the scorer of a truly iconic goal for Italy. Obviously the stakes are different. Nobody kill me there, but it was just iconic in terms of the emotion, for sure, 100%. I was on the Calcio Guys before this doing who should be cut, and I said Zaccagni should be cut in favor of Orsolini. This is not like, again, it's not attempt to be negative. It's just, you know, or critical. It's like, well, let's just assess what's in front of us. I would still make the same cut today. I think Zaccagni scored a goal that, like, El Shaarawy could have scored if he was in that position. Or, you know, you could put a number of different players. Yeah, he would. You could put a number of different players there. He wasn't necessarily like this huge difference maker. He scored the big goal for us. I guess all of this is to say, is Zaccagni a player that you anticipate continuing to be a difference maker for us in this tournament? Or was it luck of the draw, right place, right time, good finish from a talented player, but ultimately he is what he is?
Yeah, no, I had no expectations for him going into this. I had no expectations with him coming in off the bench. Like you said, right place, right time. I don't think he did anything like otherworldly that, you know, is warranting this. You know, like, I actually commented, Anthony from All Juve Cast put up, you know, the picture of the Del Piero goal and the Zaccagni goal, and was asking which one was harder. You know, I said the Del Piero goal was harder. Not only was it the closeness to Jens Lehmann that he was there, the angle that he had to put that ball around, and obviously the where we were in terms of tournaments and stuff. You know, the what's his name? Livakovic kind of was able to sit back and cheat a little bit to that side. And he just did curl it around him, but he had time and space. Like, if he wanted to take even like two more dribbles, he could have done that if he wanted to. You know, like, I'm not saying it wasn't a great goal.
He could have even finished near post as well. He had options.
Probably, yeah, he could have driven it low near post. I mean, he could have done a few other, like, a bunch of different things. Whereas Del Piero only had one choice with that shot. So, I would agree. I think Orsolini would still say, even today, is more deserving to be on the team than Zaccagni. But I don't have really an expectations for him going forward. I don't see him really playing like a big role or doing that again, or stealing 3 points for us again. You know, I don't know.
If Spalletti starts Mancini over Buongiorno in a three-back.
I'm not watching. I'm not even kidding.
As soon as it came to my head, I was like, I'm going to ask Johnny this. I was just, the only reason I was asking for.
I hate Gianluca Mancini. He could play for Inter, and I would find a reason to hate him. Like, I just. Roma fans talk about him as if he's this, like, solid defender. He's this. This is a guy that'll cost us a game. He will do something stupid. He will get himself carded for something stupid. And then get another card for, you know, dissent or whatever. And then we're down a man against the Swiss. If he plays at all, Spalletti should be fired. Not even like, he should be fired after the starting lineup is announced. If they see Mancini on the sheet. I'm not even kidding.
I'm going to read you the list of players that did not participate in the Croatia game. You're going to tell me which one you most want to start against Switzerland. El Shaarawy, Folarunchu, Cristante, Cambiaso, Bellanova, Mancini, Gatti, Buongiorno, and we'll leave the keepers out of it.
Buongiorno. It's not even a question. And anyone who says otherwise is just trying to be different. The only one I would actually maybe hear an argument for is Bellanova.
That's what I was going to say. Would you rather have Darmian, Buongiorno, Bastoni, Di Lorenzo, or Bellanova, Darmian, Mancini, Bastoni?
I'll still take Buongiorno and Di Lorenzo.
I think I would too. Yeah.
I could suffer through Di Lorenzo. I mean, I'll lose my mind while he's out there, but at least I know there's an opportunity for Bellanova to come on. You know what I mean?
I just think that Switzerland's personnel is shifty guys who can get behind you, and I just see Mancini fouling at the wrong time, doing something bad, just not.
He'll get a yellow card in the first 20 minutes.
He's gonna pull down Doi as a last man and get a red card.
I mean, that could happen too, but he's just useless. He's useless. I don't.
Bad
people say, oh, he's so good, he's so solid, look at the timely goals, oh, he's just like Materazzi. He's nothing like Materazzi. He scored a few goals last minute, congrats, but Materazzi was actually solid defensively, and he didn't take bad fouls. He would commit good ones at the right time, like he would take, you know, tactical fouls, and he knew how to actually like just get in someone's head where they would do something stupid. Mancini's just an idiot.
Yeah,
please keep him away. Keep him away. If he starts, I promise you, I'm not watching the game, and you'll have to get somebody else on here to talk about, you know, the Swiss game, because I'm not gonna know a thing that happened except the score.
I was really hoping this wasn't gonna be the case, but doesn't it feel like the Acerbi and Scalvini losses are really looming large right now?
100%.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
one
thing.
In that case, you would never have to worry about Mancini or Gatti getting minutes, but.
Croatia doesn't score if Acerbi's out there.
Probably. What do you think happened with the Bastoni duck? Was it? I thought somebody called him off.
Yeah.
Because why would you do that at the last minute?
Yeah. Somebody had and it may not even been an Italy player. He might have heard somebody else thought it was an Italy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the only thing that I could think of.
Unless you would only do that if you thought Donnarumma was right behind you catching that cross.
Yeah. And people want to point fingers at Bastoni there. Yes, that's a mistake. I'm not going to sit here and defend that. But let's talk about Di Lorenzo allowing Modric to just run in there and be like, if you're running into the box and marking your man, he doesn't get a free shot on goal.
Darmian looked lost there too.
But at least Darmian was man marking. You know, the bounce just went weird and then he lost them. But like if Dilo's run, Di Lorenzo just literally did everything that Dumfries does that upsets me. Literally. Just being lazy.
All right. Let's shift to why Azzurri fans should be hopeful. Let's try to instill a little positivity, because this has been a tough pod, but also guys, like, we just have to talk about what we're seeing. And I don't it's hard to spin zone positives on a lot of what we're seeing, especially Interisti. Like, you know, we've had to be critical of some of our guys out there. So positive scenarios moving forward would have to include what for you? In order for Italy to turn around and start looking good in this tournament, get past Switzerland, all of a sudden now you're thinking, you know, semifinals against the, or quarterfinals against England. What do you need to see out there against Switzerland? What's your game plan?
I mean, it's got to be a dominating performance from all parts of the pitch. Like, it can't just be one group carrying the other two or kicking them along. Like, you need to have just an absolutely insane performance for me to feel confident even going into a potential matchup with England, which right now against Slovenia is still 0-0 in the start of the second half. Guys, plus 1,300, I got Slovenia at. I took it. Anyway. You
did. I took the under.
That was smart. I also I threw in another bet on a draw just in case. But
what did you have in the Denmark game?
I didn't bet on it, but I did have Denmark winning. But
I have Denmark money line because wanted the spread at 0.5, but at that point you just take the better odds, and that was on the money line.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I saw plus 1,300 on Slovenia to win. I'm like,
might as well.
I literally just threw $5 on it. Not even anything crazy.
They still have a chance to qualify. So, like, why not?
Dude, that's $75 if they win. If Slovenia wins, that's a $75 hit.
Yeah.
Like,
Nick would be proud of you.
But anyway, yeah. Like, I mean, I would want to see like a dominating performance so that I could actually feel confident going into a potential matchup with England. Because I wouldn't feel good if we do the same things that we did against Croatia, against England. We'll get made, unless Donnarumma bails us out again and we're able to steal something somehow. You know, and I would feel better going into penalties, actually, than that against them, because I trust Donnarumma more than I do, you know, Pickford. But, listen, let's hope that he gets the lineup right for once in this tournament. And then I think I would feel better if he's able to do that right.
You really need to get the lineup right, because Switzerland is your last shot to do it before you have to face a heavy hitter.
Let's do our starting 11 right now.
Can we do our starting 11 that we would do, and then what we think is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do mine is the 3-5-2. Donnarumma, same. Darmian, Buongiorno, Bastoni.
You're not starting Vicario this game?
No. Oh God! Just to rile up everybody. So my back three, Buongiorno comes in, Bastoni kicks over to the left. On the left-hand side, I'm resting Di Marco. I'm starting Cambiaso. My midfield is Pellegrini, Jorginho, Barella. My right wing back is Bellanova. My forwards are Scamacca and Retegui.
All right, just to save time, mine's the exact same if I'm starting, if I'm coaching. I'm doing the same exact lineup. What do I think he's going to do? I think he's going to do Bastoni, Buongiorno, Darmian. I think he's going to put Cambiaso and Di Lorenzo as the wingbacks. I've got a really bad feeling he's going to do something stupid in the midfield. And I don't want to say it. I don't want to put it out there. But I think he's not going to start Pellegrini, and I think he's going to do something dumb instead of Pellegrini. And I'll just say I really have a crazy feeling that he's going to go Chiesa.
Yeah.
Scamacca, Retegui.
The more I think about it, the more I feel like he's going to use the Calafiore being out to go with the 4-2-3-1 again and do.
I didn't want to hear that though.
Like Donnarumma, Di Lorenzo, Buongiorno or Mancini, Bastoni, Cambiaso, Jorginho, Barella.
If he goes back to that,
And then do
Chiesa. I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking he was going to keep it as a 3-5-2, but then have Chiesa play behind the strikers.
Yeah, I think he's going to do the 4-2-3-1 with Chiesa and then either like Fratesi or Raspadori.
If he does that,
Retegi and Zaccagni on the left wing. That's part of the problem, we don't know.
I'm not even mad at you. I'm not even mad at you for saying that. I'm mad at you because I could see him doing it.
I really think so. You know, like it's the perfect thing of like, okay, well, Calafiore's out, so now I get to go back to my formation. Zaccagni scored, so let me reward him magic a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And reward then if we're going to play like with the wingers, I have to start Chiesa. And then if that's the case, you have to start an out-and-out striker then. It has to be Retegi. And then maybe he goes with Raspadori if Pellegrini's hurt instead of Fratesi. Like, I could see it being
If he starts that lineup, I'm not even kidding. I'm putting money on Switzerland.
I can see it being a mess.
If he does exactly what you just said, which I could totally see him doing, I'm throwing money on Switzerland.
Yeah. This is this was supposed to be the positive portion of the pod. All right, let's quickly just talk about the like club rivalry thing seeping into the national team stuff. I don't know if it I think I'm probably someone who gets more bothered about shit that people say on Twitter than you do, but it just really bothers me.
Mostly
that it's like
I engage it back and I throw it back at them. Yeah, and I do the same thing. So.
Exactly, but I think that you like it. For me, my blood boils. My blood boils because I can't handle it.
I don't like it. I think from being from Long Island and having talked so much trash to so many people all my life, whether it was playing soccer, I'm sorry, like baseball, whatever, I always had something to say, and I always had something quick to say, like right back. Like they could say something and I had something right ready, like locked and loaded to shoot at them.
But
I don't enjoy it. Like I don't like. I would much rather not go on Twitter and get annoyed, and then I have to go on like a 15 tweet fight with someone and rile myself up and get all worked up on whatever it may be. Like,
fuck.
I would rather not. I wish I didn't have that gene or that whatever that mindset, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because then it just gets toxic. It does. And I'm guilty.
It is toxic. And
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm, you know, innocent and woe is me or I'm a victim or no. Like I can be just as toxic, you know, whether it's with Adamo, whomever it is. Like I can go, I have no problem saying anything.
He's one of the guys that said, you know, I'm not watching this team and said that, yeah, especially when they have so many this is what you get for having so many Inter players essentially playing in the team. And I think
you're right. I'm glad he's muted for me now, like because I don't want to talk to him. But like, you're right.
Yeah, I just
the
saw
team
it.
That just won the Scudetto. They're the fault.
Yeah, so that's what I really just wanted to talk about. Like, if the national team is not performing well, it has nothing to do with whoever's clubs those players are representing. Like it's not the same team. It's not the same team.
Well, it is because if with Spalletti coaching and the Napoli player, that's the same. Right, no, I'm kidding.
But it's like.
But you're right.
There's so many different factors. It's the what you're being asked to play, the formation, not a lot of time together. Like it's just national teams are not club teams.
Even the way a manager communicates with his players, you know, like. Just because I know Inzaghi, he may have one style that is able to be received by his team, and Spalletti may have another one, and the guys just don't respond to it possibly.
And they have a preseason and then 38 match league season to like work out their kinks together. And over a long period of time, the mistakes that you see get, you know, sort of washed away by all the good performances. You don't get that when you're with the national team. You got like this is 3 games. And then, you know, the preseason, the friendlies, which that's hard to take into account, and the qualifiers, which were, you know, he just started. So it's like, it's just the club shit. Like, we're on the same team for 2 months out of the year. Like, can we just, I don't want to see annoying tweets. I'm happy to engage with Juventini and Milanisti because we're on the same side now. And it's supposed to be, like, good. But instead, because the national team is not gelling well together for all the reasons that we said, now it's like, okay, it's happening because your club's players are starting. And it's the stupidest fucking argument that has no basis in reality. And I just fucking hate it. I just fucking hate it. And I'd be saying the same thing if it was other, you know, obviously Inter players are being targeted because Fratesi's handball, Di Marco's poor performance. But like, that's it, right? That's it. Are we done?
I mean,
I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, everything you said, I do agree with. I do allow myself to get like wrapped up into it and sucked in, and then I start like, you know, wanting to clap back at whoever it may be, whether they're talking about Inter players, and I want to make fun of Juve or whatever it is. So, but yes, I would much rather it not be the case for sure.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just how I feel about it. But
no, I don't think you are. I really don't. I think we all got things, you know, that we don't want to see or that we don't want to, you know, deal with or hear or whatever.
That is cultural Twitter. All right.
In a nutshell,
should we touch on two pieces of Inter information?
Yeah.
Çalhanoğlu. That was scary for a sec, right?
I mean, I didn't think anything was happening.
When the first rumor came out, because it was like a Turkish news source and German media, whatever, I was like, you guys are buying into a bunch of bullshit. And then when the Italian journalist started saying, yeah, the offer is imminent, then I was like, oh, and they would consider 70 million. Then I was like, okay, well, Bayern's capable of paying that. And our directors are capable of accepting an offer like that, especially for a player that came on a free. And the thing that I was thinking was like, there's no player that is completely and totally above everything. The only player that comes close to it on this current Inter team is Barella, you know, but Hakan's a close, you know, he's right behind there. And if he would have left, I don't know how many players could have came in that I would have said, okay, we're still title favorites. That's how good he was last year. So, so good. And it's not just like the distribution and he's the perfect Inzaghi regista. It's also like he scored fucking 11 goals. A lot of them on penalties because our starting striker, our captain, is very inconsistent on them. So it would have been a huge loss. It would have been a huge, huge loss. But as we know, he puts out the Instagram post. He's happy at Inter. It's not, you're never completely out of the woods, especially when it comes to the Mercato and Serie A clubs and money and all that good stuff. But do you think it's possible to replace him on the market this summer market? And if so, would you still have made us favorites for the title?
I don't think it's possible to replace, you know, Hakan, the type of impact he has, the importance he is to the team, the way he's able to dictate play. Who knows? Maybe he sent one of those too. But yeah, I don't think it would not have been easy for sure to replace him. So, you know, you did a great post of, you know, potential replacements, and I liked a lot of the names that you brought up, specifically Barella. You know, and I love the rumor that came out about Hjulmand.
I did see that. Yeah,
that would have been my guy. Yeah, you're not going to get the same impact from either of those guys as you would with Hakan out there. So as much as I did not want to sell him, yeah, 70 million. I know, like you said, I don't think our management would have turned down. I think would have been foolish to turn down for a 30-year-old. Yes, you know, he is important, but when you ever, like, I looked up all the transfers, the highest transfers of players, you know, age 30 or older. And he would have been the second highest if that number was real.
Yeah, there's behind no only, way they would have turned it down.
Ronaldo.
No way.
Who went? Yeah, there's no way they would have turned that down if that was a real offer.
Like, it would be terrible. It would be like if Oaktree is very much like a manage like a business, they would have fired Marotta if he sent back an offer for a 30-year-old that they got on a free. Not an offer, a 70 million offer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I honestly don't think, although Bayern did do that for, well, I mean, he wasn't 30 yet, but they did pay that kind of money for Harry Kane. So maybe, who knows, maybe they would have, you know, thrown out that kind of money for Vincent Kompany, which again, what a crazy hire that was. But anyway, I do think that whoever they brought in, we would still be title contenders. I just don't think that we would have been able to compete on all fronts the same way, though.
I agree. It's also a huge scare because the reality of the situation is that you do need to find a regista to replace him, and they're hard to find. And Aslani is
not ready, and he's not
good. He's moving farther away from, in my mind, being that guy. Because mainly because the physicality has not progressed, and
yeah,
it just like he just looks like a little kid still, and he's only, you know, he's turning 22, but really hoping that looks a little different.
And Albania hasn't playing higher up the pitch,
and also not a true regista too. He's been playing alongside Ramadani, and he's not. It's yeah, it's just hard to assess what he was doing as far as the Inter stuff is concerned. All right, other piece of news, and this will be our last one. Josep Martinez counterparts are off. The deal looks to be 12+3 in bonuses. You think that's a good deal? 26-year-old keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping it was going to be something where they were like really trying to get a deal done for Bento, and they were trying to like work something out with that. Like, you know, trying to basically use it as a tactic to get
I agree,
Bento at a cheaper cost.
And Bento obviously apparently is only 5 mil more. Like, you really can't find. Really can't find a way to make that.
But I don't think
work.
He's really. I don't think he's really going to be 20.
Do you think he's closer to 30? 25?
Closer to 30.
Yeah. I think he's the better keeper. He really is.
Without a question.
I don't even want to pretend. Like, I know I'm going to be.
No one's going to pretend. I mean, listen. I'm happy with Martinez. I think that he is good enough for this team. But yeah, Bento is, you know. I think I said it last episode. Bento's S tier. Martinez is A tier. You know, anybody else is lower than that too.
Okoye is B tier.
C tier.
Yeah. I think I said C tier.
Yeah. Yeah. So, also, Taremi and Zielinski got knocked out of the Euros. Hopefully, he's going to be there for the start of preseason. No injuries. Same thing with Taremi. And it looks like Martinez is the next guy up. So if it does turn out to be Martinez, then what's your next move? I can imagine what it might be.
What do you think?
Selling Dumfries.
Oh, I thought you were talking about bringing. Yeah, selling Dumfries. I thought you were talking about just bringing people in. But yeah, I'm selling.
He's
Dumfries.
Not had the best tournament for the Netherlands, unfortunately.
Don't tell it to Huyan.
Yeah. Not been great.
Huyan's saying otherwise.
No, it's been pretty bang average.
He thinks because Dumfries is starting and Frimpong isn't, that Dumfries is better. Like that's where we're at
in touch world.
I wish that's how it worked too. Because then, yeah, I'd feel great about Dumfries.
All right.
Which game are you watching right now?
I got the dual cast on.
Oh, okay.
The YouTube TV multicast. Plug that real quick. YouTube TV, sponsor us. We just threw you some free
Wouldn't
promotion.
Wouldn't mind a free account, because I'm having to pay for freaking VIX and watching the games in Spanish.
Oh, so. Dude, I canceled after the 7th day. I don't think
I'm going to cancel it after the 7th day too. But
yeah. All right. You got anything else?
Yeah. Jerseys are ordered. It's done. I posted yesterday the last mock-up. They are going to make one kit and like do this like cool video and send to me, and then obviously I'll share with everybody. Once I approve whatever, you know, is the final one going to be, and then they're going to be, you know, getting started on production, which I think I said is like, they say less than 5 weeks. So
start of the season.
Awesome. We have some other things that we are going to include with everyone's purchase, that I'm throwing in that I'm kind of pumped about.
Our first foray into merch. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And we're not doing like, I mean, eventually we'll do stuff, that everyone could like buy and like maybe make like a interview shop or something like that. But this was like, we had to have, you know, at least 20 kits ordered to make it worth it, for everybody. And
we'll do more shit. We gotta continue to grow the pod, and we really appreciate everyone who's listened from the beginning, who's just coming in. We're gonna continue to do content, and we, you know, on top of potentially more merch and stuff like that, we have some more news to announce coming up soon. Can't do it quite yet, but again, we're focused on growing the pod. We're focused on bringing more content to you guys. And the first merch drop is hopefully a sign of some awesome things to come.
Very excited. Very excited.
Ready to sign off?
I was just making sure that there was nothing else that needed to be...
Come on,
done.
Dude. I'm trying to watch this football terrorism.
You're good.
I'm trying to watch this football terrorism is England, Slovenia.
We're done. Relax.
Are you seeing this right now?
By who? I'm watching the England game.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. What is going on back there?
Like, I'm hoping Slovenia can like steal something. I don't think it's gonna happen, but for
my
wallet.
Do you know how lucky gay he is that fucking his. Was that Rice that ran behind him so that wasn't a last man foul? Like, just bad.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. We will see you guys hopefully after a win Saturday or Sunday so we can celebrate
that.
Saturday? The game's Saturday. We may record on Sunday depending on when we can get this out. But all right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.